Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, September 13th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
Wall Street prepares for the latest reading on inflation.
Goldman Sachs begins its biggest round of job cuts since the pandemic.
The Justice Department ramps up its investigation into the 2020 election.
And Ukraine might be turning the corner in the war with Russia.
We're learning more about the mother accused of drowning her children at Coney Island Beach. Plus, Senator Graham plans to introduce national abortion restrictions. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshower in sports. The Mets lost to the Cubs. The Yankees visit the Red Sox tonight. Monday Night Football, Seattle top Denver.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures on the rise this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up about 17 points. Dow futures up 127, and NASDAQ futures up 45. 10-year Treasury up 11 32nds, yield 3.31%, and the yield on the 2-year, 3.52%, and NYMEX crude oil at $88.80 a barrel. Nathan.
Karen, for markets today, it is all about inflation. And we get the latest reading on U.S. consumer prices at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Forecasts call for inflation to ease, but Kroll Institute chief economist Megan Green says there is a risk prices go the other direction.
Well, I think we'll see headline inflation coming down thanks to lower gas prices. But in terms of core inflation, we might see a tick up very moderately. I actually think the risks are on the downside. There's a possibility it could fall, but generally I think it'll tick up very moderately. And that's good news that it's increasing at a slower rate, but I don't think that the Fed can breathe a sigh of relief just yet.
Megan Green at Kroll says an energy crunch could push prices higher in the coming months. Economists surveyed by Bloomberg expect inflation for August to come in at an annual rate of 8.1%.
Well, ahead of that report, Nathan, the mood in equity markets is risk on. Stocks in the Asia-Pacific climbed overnight, and Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us with a recap from Sydney, Australia. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. Tech stocks led the gains, with Apple suppliers rallying amid strong pre-order data for the latest iPhones. South Korea's KOSPI rose more than 2.5% as investors played catch-up after Monday's holiday. The offshore yuan weakened despite yet another strong fix from the PBOC, the 14th in a row. The bias was below 200 pips, though, for the first time in a week. Our MLife strategist highlighting this suggests the PBOC could be easing off slightly in its battering of yuan bearish bets. In Sydney, Juliet Sally, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Back here in the U.S., a couple corporate names we're watching this morning. Shares of Peloton are down about 0.5% in early trading. That's after word chairman and co-founder John Foley is stepping down from the company. His resignation takes effect Monday.
And on the flip side, Nathan, we're seeing shares of Oracle gain. They are up almost 2% after earnings that were in line with estimates. Sales for Oracle jumped 18% in the recent quarter, thanks to strength in cloud computing.
Elsewhere on Wall Street, Karen, job cuts are in focus. Goldman Sachs is going ahead with its biggest round of cutbacks since the start of the pandemic. Sources say the bank plans to eliminate several hundred roles starting this month. Bloomberg's Valerie Tytel says the cuts will be based on performance.
They usually have an annual culling cycle, but I think what's notable about this one is that they are resuming normal activity after the pandemic. This comes after some pretty steep declines in investment banking activities, notably IPOs and junk debt issuance, creating, you know, quite some conditions for some significant layoffs to begin post-pandemic.
Bloomberg's Valerie Tytel says Goldman will use the cuts to weed out low performers. The move could signal a chill setting in across the finance industry as revenue slumps from record highs.
Well, let's turn to politics now, Nathan, where an investigation into the 2020 election is heating up. The Justice Department is ramping up its probe into the plot to overturn the presidential election, issuing dozens of subpoenas targeting campaign operatives and allies of former President Trump. And Bloomberg's Amy Morris has details from our 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
About 40 new subpoenas were issued, the focus appearing to be the alleged scheme to have fake or alternate electors come to Washington to delay the certification of Joe Biden as president. The New York Times reports the Justice Department also seized the phones from Trump's lawyer, Boris Epstein, and campaign strategist Mike Roman. The Times says some of the new subpoenas focus on activities of the Save America Political Action Committee, which is the main political fundraising arm for Trump since he left office. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Amy. Let's turn our attention to Ukraine now. The country is asking for more weapons to build on its recent success retaking territory from Russia. President Volodymyr Zelensky says forces have recaptured more than 2,300 square miles this month. Former Defense Secretary Leon Panetta says this could mark a turning point in the war.
I would say it's both pivotal and dangerous. It's pivotal because to have Ukraine conducting a strong offensive that's working is incredibly important to putting real pressure on both Putin and the Russians. It's dangerous because Putin, if he's boxed in, obviously will have to strike back.
Former Defense Secretary Leon Panetta spoke with David Westin on Bloomberg's Balance of Power. Catch the program weekdays at noon Eastern on Bloomberg Radio and Television, plus the Balance of Power podcast on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
And finally, Nathan, to the UK, where ceremonies remembering Queen Elizabeth continue this week. Mourners in Scotland are paying respect to the Queen this morning. And here with more is Bloomberg's Leanne Gerrans.
Thousands of people have been queuing through the night to see the Queen's coffin at St. Giles Cathedral in Edinburgh. The Queen's coffin will rest in the cathedral until about 5 p.m. local time today before beginning the journey back to London. It will then be taken to Buckingham Palace and then to Westminster Hall, where the Queen will lie in state for 4 days. A national minute silence will be held at 8 p.m. on Sunday, the night before the Queen's funeral in Westminster Abbey.
And Bloomberg's Leanne Gerrans reporting from London will bring you live coverage of the Queen's funeral coming up on Monday right here on Bloomberg Daybreak.
And ahead of the market open, Karen, futures are moving higher. S&P futures are up 16 points. Dow futures up 126. NASDAQ futures on the rise by 46 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 11/32nds, yield 3.31%. NYMEX crude's higher by 1% or 90 cents at $88.67 a barrel. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. 6:07 on Wall Street. We're at 71 degrees in Central Park. We got an accident in Westport. It's on the southbound Connecticut Turnpike, exit 17. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. The mother of three children who were found dead at Coney Island Beach could be charged today. The 30-year-old woman, who has not been identified, was questioned by the NYPD for about 6 hours before she was taken to a hospital for a psychological evaluation. Yesterday, police found the bodies of 7-year-old Zachary Murdy, 4-year-old Lilana, and 3-month-old Oliver Bondarev. NYPD Chief of Department Keith Corey says that, Kenneth Corey, I should say, says that the 30-year-old mother was found 2 miles down the boardwalk from her home in what appeared to be a catatonic state.
She was wet, she was barefoot, and she was not communicative to the officers.
The community was left in shock over the deaths of the children.
Give them to somebody. Take them to somebody. Don't harm them like that.
Police say family members claim the mother confessed that she drowned her children, but she has not said anything directly to investigators. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham plans to introduce legislation to restrict abortion nationally. The South Carolina senator has scheduled an announcement at the Capitol for later today. Graham's action raises the profile of abortion rights as an issue for the midterm elections. A Connecticut jury is slated to begin hearing evidence today in a trial to decide how much money conspiracy theorist Alex Jones should pay relatives of the victims of the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting for spreading a lie that the 2012 massacre that left 26 people dead was a hoax. It is the second such trial for Jones, who was ordered by a Texas jury last month to pay nearly $50 million to the parents of one of the slain children. Negotiations between the unions representing railroad workers and management have stalled. This means some Amtrak riders could experience delays and could cause the rebounding economy to lose momentum. The deadline for a deal is just after midnight Friday. At last night's Emmys on NBC, HBO took home the top award for the sixth time in 8 years, thanks to Succession for top drama and The White Lotus for best limited series. Apple's Ted Lasso repeated as best comedy. Hwang Dong-hyuk made history as the first South Korean director to win for Best Drama for Squid Game.
Since Squid Game got 14 nominations at the Emmys, people keep telling me, like, I made the history. But I don't think I made the history by myself. Because it was you who opened up the doors for Squid Game, invited us here tonight at the Emmys.
Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 6:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stanshauer.
All right, Nathan, Mets back home from a road trip that saw them win 2 of 3 in Pittsburgh, 2 of 3 in Miami, now facing another subpar team, the Cubs. Chicago got to Chris Bassett, pair of early home runs. Bassett gone in the fourth inning, having allowed 5 runs. The Cubs won 5-2. But Atlanta lost in San Francisco 3-2. That's the Braves' third loss in a row, and the Mets remain a game and a half ahead. Yankees and Red Sox tonight in Boston. Gerrit Cole on the mound. The two teams behind the Yanks met. Toronto on a Bo Bichette 8th-inning homer, top Tampa Bay 3-2. So the Blue Jays now in second place, 5.5 games behind the Yanks, and the Rays trail by 6. The first NFL Sunday saw three teams, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and New Orleans, all win games with last-second field goals of over 50 yards. Last night in Seattle, Denver tried to win with a 64-yard field goal. It missed. Seahawks won 17-16. The Broncos had time to try and get a first down, move closer, but they elected to try that long kick. So Russell Wilson loses in his return to Seattle, his first game with Denver. The Jets Sunday bring their 13-game month of September losing streak to Cleveland. Jets offense struggled in the loss to Baltimore, but Coach Rob Saleh feels it will improve.
Those little errors that the offense was having in the first half stop happening. It's going to be explosive. And then it carries on to the second half. You're just going to feel it. And in a way, it does just click, where you're just stacking up day after day after day. And it's really, really cool when it does happen, because it just absolutely pops off the tape.
The Jets Sunday facing a Browns team that just won its opener for the first time since 2004. Giants got their first since 2016. This Sunday, they host Carolina. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. Futures moving higher ahead of inflation data that we'll talk about next with Bloomberg's Michael McKee. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy, especially in times of crisis. Make your giving impactful. Visit jcfny.org.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We did have this headline, crossing the Bloomberg buyer, also known as bear in the U.S., quietly starting the search for a successor to Chief Executive Officer Werner Baumann, raising the prospect of an early departure. This according to people familiar with the matter. Futures, meanwhile, are on the rise this morning, with S&P futures up about 19 points, Dow futures up 143, and NASDAQ futures up 56. 10-year Treasury up 10/32, yield 3.31%. The yield on the 2-year, 3.52%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.2%, up $1.02 at $88.80 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.1%, down $2.40 at $17.38.20 an ounce. The euro, 1.0169 against the dollar. British pound, 1.1709. And the yen, 142.17. And looking at Bitcoin this morning, little changed at $22,390. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The coffin of Queen Elizabeth II will head from Edinburgh, Scotland, to London. The Queen will lie in state in Westminster Hall for 4 days in London. More than 30 people associated with former President Trump and efforts to influence the 2020 election results have received federal grand jury subpoenas. Meanwhile, Trump and the Department of Justice agreed that Judge Raymond Deary would be a suitable choice for an outside special master to review the documents taken from Trump's Mar-a-Lago home as part of an investigation into his handling of government records. In Monday Night Football, the Seahawks upset the Broncos 17-16. In baseball, the Mets lost to the Cubs 5-2. The Giants won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay. Okay, Michael, thanks. It is 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and markets are looking for a clearer picture on where things stand in the Federal Reserve's fight against inflation when we get the August Consumer Price Index in just about 2 hours and 10 minutes. Here ahead of that with us is Michael McKee, Bloomberg Economics and Policy Correspondent. So, Mike, walk us through what economists we've surveyed are expecting we are going to hear when those consumer prices come down at 8:30 Wall Street time.
Well, the number that a lot of Americans will focus on is headline inflation, which is expected to go down 0.1%, and that would drag the year-over-year rate down from 8.5% to 8.1% later this morning. President Biden has a speech, some remarks on the economy and on the Inflation Reduction Act that they passed, and so no doubt he will be citing that. The core rate, however, is expected to be up about 0.3, which would be a reasonably small increase given what we've seen before, but because of base effects, the year-over-year rate goes up to 5.1% from 4.9%. So on that basis, it won't be quite as good news. The question that everybody who is in the economics profession and over at the Fed is going to be asking is not so much what the numbers are, but what the underlying inflation dynamics are. What's rising in price? What's falling in price? What does that tell us about what's going to happen in the future?
Well, what are economists expecting when it comes to those underlying dynamics, Mike? What are some of the biggest drivers potentially we could see for core inflation?
Well, the good news side is we are expecting used car prices to fall. They've dropped significantly on a wholesale level, so the hope is that translates into the retail level as well. Apparel, there's been a story that retailers stocked up too much on clothing because so much of it was jammed up in the pipeline and then it came through. So they have to discount to get rid of some of their inventories. So we might see some declines there. Of course, on the headline basis, gasoline prices, the big driver of inflation, has fallen a lot. On the bad news side, housing prices are still going to be rising in the CPI because it takes a long time for housing prices in that index to change. You don't sell a house or buy a house every day the way you buy gasoline. And so the rise in home prices we've seen the last couple of years is still going to be with us. And housing prices are going to be the biggest measure of the core because they are 30% of the CPI. And so that's a significant upward pressure.
Yeah, so given how much weight housing prices do have on core inflation, does that sort of lower the possibility that we could see a downside surprise on core inflation?
That's one reason a lot of people aren't expecting a downside surprise on the core, although there are a number of categories that fall under that dreaded T word, transitory.
You're not supposed to say it.
We're not supposed to say that. We're supposed to retire it, according to
Jay Powell.
But things that could fall and aren't tracked closely enough to get a sense of where they are on a month-to-month basis, things like airfares and hotels. We know that the prices have gone down, but enough to make a difference? That's a key question. One wild card is the seasonal impact of colleges reopening, because there is a sense that tuition prices went up. And if that's the case, then that could put upward pressure on the core as well.
What are the chances that we could see a consumer price index that lowers the risk of another jumbo-sized rate hike from the Fed? I only ask that, Mike, because we've heard from so many Fed speakers ahead of this reading that really seem to be leaning into this idea that they're open to another 75 basis point move. We've got about a minute left here.
They've been talking about that for quite some time. Jay Powell went to Jackson Hole and suggested that. And then everybody who spoke after him up to the quiet period beginning last Saturday seemed to endorse the idea of a strong rate move. The feeling is that if they're going to get to a restrictive level just above the neutral rate, maybe 4% or a little below, they might as well do it quickly, get it over with, get there, and then wait and see what happens with the data. So that seems to be the plan. And I don't think anything that happens in the CPI report that's out today is going to change that. They'll watch for data down the road.
Thanks for this, Mike. Great having you on with us again this morning ahead of August CPI. Due out 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Of course, we'll have full coverage for you here on Bloomberg Radio. Michael McKee, economics and policy correspondent for Bloomberg Radio and Television. Just reiterating the red headline that crossed the Bloomberg terminal a few minutes ago, Bayer, a.k.a. Bayer, the drug maker, quietly starting a search for a successor to CEO Werner Baumann, according to people familiar with the matter, raising the prospect that Baumann could leave before his contract expires in April of 2024. Bayer shares are higher by nearly 2% in Frankfurt. S&P futures are higher by 18 points on Wall Street. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather. Any showers and storms end by midday today. We'll get up to the low 80s this afternoon. Sunshine, low 80s tomorrow. Sunny mid-70s on Thursday. Right now, 71 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Interactive Brokers, simple IBKR global trader app. Deposit in your local currency and trade stocks in the U.S., Europe, and Asia. Start your free trial at IBKR.com/globaltrader. Up first, U.S. futures are higher ahead of the latest data on inflation. We get a reading on U.S. consumer prices for August at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Forecast call for inflation to ease to an annual rate of 8.1%. Here with more is Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee.
Falling energy prices likely held down headline inflation in August, but higher costs for housing and education are forecast to have pushed core inflation higher. Fed officials have all but said they're locked in on a 0.75 percentage point increase for interest rates next week. A higher core rate won't affect their thinking, but it will serve as a reminder the fight against inflation is far from over. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Mike, thanks. Global stocks are slightly higher ahead of that CPI report. Stocks in Europe and Asia are posting moderate gains. S&P futures are up about 0.5%.
Well, elsewhere on Wall Street, Nathan, job cuts are in focus this morning. Goldman Sachs is going ahead with its biggest round of cutbacks since the start of the pandemic. Sources tell us the bank plans to eliminate several hundred roles starting this month. Bloomberg's Sally Bakewell says the move could signal a chill setting in across the industry.
The other investment banks, they've faced similar challenges. They're battling inflation. They have also seen a slump in deal making, in investment banking. And we understand that a lot of the cuts with Goldman Sachs were in that division. And so we can expect that this sets the tone a little bit for broader Wall Street, and that we might start to see other banks following suit.
And Bloomberg's Sally Bakewell says the cuts at Goldman will be used to weed out low performers.
Let's turn our attention to Ukraine now, Karen. The country's asking for more weapons to build on its recent success retaking territory from Russia. President Volodymyr Zelensky says forces recaptured more than 2,300 square miles this month. Agnia Grigas is a senior fellow at the Atlantic Council.
I do believe this spells a turning point. And at this point, we could suggest that either Russia is facing defeat or it's facing a stalemate.
Agnia Grigas with the Atlantic Council says the areas Ukraine's securing could give them a strategic advantage over Russia.
And finally, in politics this morning, Nathan, the Justice Department is ramping up its probe into the plot to overturn the 2020 presidential election. The DOJ is issuing about 40 new subpoenas to campaign operatives and allies of former President Donald Trump. That's the five things that you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street, 70 degrees in Central Park. We got an overturned car in Cranford, northbound Garden State Parkway by exit 137. We'll tell you more in traffic. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Nathan, thank you very much. The 30-year-old mother who was accused of drowning her three young children at Coney Island Beach remains hospitalized under psychiatric evaluation this morning. She could face charges today. Yesterday, the bodies of 7-year-old Zachary Murdy, 4-year-old Lilana, and 3-month-old Oliver Bondarev were found on the shore of the beach. The NYPD says the woman, who has not yet been identified, was found about 90 minutes soaking wet. nearly catatonic and barefoot about 2 miles down the boardwalk from the section of Coney Island where she lived. The community is reacting to the news. Zachary's school football coach, Alan McFarland, says it's hard to believe.
Solid kid, really good kid, always smiling on the football field.
Police say family members claim she confessed to the killings but has not said anything to authorities. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina will once again try to introduce legislation to restrict abortion nationally. Graham has scheduled an announcement for later today at the Capitol. The politically explosive debate is emerging as one of the central issues in the midterm election campaign. The White House is working to avert a rail worker strike. President Biden has reached out to both railroad unions and the railroad companies. If a deal isn't made by Friday, it could lead to major rail disruptions. Amtrak already announced it will be suspending several routes. Jason Sudeikis' comedy Ted Lasso aired on Apple claimed the top comedy prize at last night's Emmy Awards.
This show is about good and evil. This show is about, like, the truth and lies. This show is about all that stuff, but it's mostly about our response to those things. And your response to our show has been overwhelming.
HBO Succession took home the top drama honor. Another HBO show, White Lotus, was named the best limited series. Lee Jung-jae of Squid Game won best drama actor. The Emmys aired on NBC. The jazz world has lost a great. Ramsey Lewis, whose album Sun Goddess reached number one on the Billboard Top Soul chart, has died. Lewis's other hits include The In Crowd, Hang On Sloopy, and Wade in the Water. His son says Lewis, who earned 3 Grammy Awards and 7 gold records, died in his sleep in his Chicago home at age 87. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Coming up to 6:36 on Wall Street, John Stashower has a Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. NFL Week 1 ended with Denver at Seattle, so Russell Wilson's first game with the Broncos against his old team. He had asked to get traded. That's why he got booed. Wilson threw for 340 yards, but twice in the second half. The Broncos fumbled at the Seattle one-yard line. Then they missed a long field goal, and Seattle won 17-16. The new Seahawks QB is Geno Smith, the former Jet and Giant. He played well, especially in the first half. Jets did not play well in the loss to the Ravens, their 13th loss in a row in September. So plenty of critics, but Jets coach Rob Saleh thinks he will have the last laugh.
I know what's going to happen. We're all taking receipts on all the people who continually mock and say that we ain't going to do anything. I'm taking receipts, and I'm going to be more than happy to share them with all of y'all when it's all said and done.
Jets Sunday visit Cleveland. The Browns just won at Carolina, and the Panthers come in to play the 1-0 Giants Sunday. Week 3, the Giants play Dallas. That was the big NFL injury out of Week 1. Dak Prescott already had surgery on an injured hand, expected to keep the Cowboys QB out 6 to 8 weeks. At Citi Field, Cubs beat the Mets 5-2. Not a good outing for Chris Bassett. Gave up all 5, gone in the fourth inning. But Atlanta has suddenly lost 3 in a row, and the Mets stay a game and a half ahead. Yankees and Red Sox tonight in Boston. It's just a 2-game series. They'll play 4 times next weekend in New York. Mike Trout homered for the Angels. 7th game in a row. He can tie the Major League record tonight. The Dodgers were told that if they won Sunday, they've clinched a playoff berth. They won, they celebrated, and then MLB informed them they made a mistake, so they celebrated again after a win last night, and LA can clinch the division tonight. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thank you. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at some of the stock names moving in the pre-market. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta is with us this morning, watching a name that's moving with a leadership shakeup on the way, Kriti.
Yeah, and one that I think a lot of people have some interest in, Peloton. PTON is your ticker. It's down about 0.5% this morning. Some news overnight here. Their executive chairman and co-founder, John Foley, is stepping down from the fitness company. It's part of this massive leadership shakeup at a time when Peloton is really trying to kind of stabilize a little bit. Remember, we've had a little bit of regulatory issues when it comes to some of their safety. We've had Peloton's also been seeing declining users, as well as users for their app, but also declining sales when it comes to just buying exercise equipment. A lot of that has to do with kind of the reopening post-COVID. So some of the success they saw in 2020 has not continued into 2022. That being said, City analysts actually put out their hot take on this and said that the departure of the company's founders, including John Foley, completes the organizational changes at Peloton and should improve its free cash flow picture. So their take here, Nathan, is simply that they're kind of getting closer to where they want to be.
Maybe an interesting contrarian perspective there, given where the stock is going. But that's not the only one that's moving on restructuring, is it?
No, it's not. And, you know, this is crucial because this is also a subscriber story similar to Peloton. Rent the Runway. I imagine you're not a user of Rent the Runway, Nathan.
I got to check it out.
You really should.
Are there offerings for people of my persuasion?
You know, I think there's a ball gown that I saw the other day that would just be perfect for you. Rent the Runway, R-E-N-T is your ticker, down about 23% in the pre-market. This one taking a really big hit here, reporting a drop in subscribers in their second quarter and, as Nathan was saying, also announcing a restructuring of the company as well. Now, the earnings itself were fairly solid. Analysts did worry a little bit about some of the volatility when it comes to subscriber trends. Some of them saying that there's a little bit of a rebound in August and September. Sometime I was actually told perhaps getting prepared for wedding season, getting prepared for gala season in the fall as well. So there is some of that. But at the end of the day, it's that restructuring, it's that drop in overall subscribers that's worrying investors this morning.
And maybe they could put some tuxedos on there.
Maybe.
And we've got some interesting earnings this morning as well.
Yeah, well, I'll wrap it up here with Oracle. ORCL is your ticker. Shares are actually up 1.7%. Some top line growth is pretty strong here. Analysts very positive on that company. However, the concern here is a drop in operating margin as well as some issues within the integration of the health record provider Cerner. Remember, Oracle recently bought Cerner, so that's where they're seeing some of those costs.
All right, Bloomberg Radio and TV markets correspondent Kriti Gupta, dressed to the nines as always. Thanks for joining us. Looking ahead to the market open, futures moving higher as we await August CPI. S&P futures up 22 points. Dow futures up 174. NASDAQ futures are higher by 66 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Any showers and storms end early today. We'll get up to the low 80s. Sunshine, low 80s tomorrow. Sunny and cooler Thursday with a high near 75. Right now, 70 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures on the rise this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. And here's Tatiana Darie. Tatiana, good morning.
Futures are higher this morning with all major averages pointing to gains of about 0.5%. And treasuries are also rallying, the 10-year yield down 4 basis points to 3.32%. Looking across asset, oil is up 1% and the dollar is weaker for a third day. On the economic front today, we have CPI data at 8:30. In early trading this morning, UBS up 1% after planning to raise its dividend this year and likely exceed a buyback target. And fashion rental company Rent the Runway plunged 22% after reporting an unexpected drop in subscribers. Regarding earnings, Oracle is up 2% after its numbers. And in other news, analysts have slashed their oil forecast for the rest of the year amid recession concerns. Morgan Stanley, UBS both see crude $15 lower in the near term. And wrapping things up here, Adobe was cut to market perform at BMO. Live from the First and Breaking News Desk, I'm Tatiana Daria. Karen.
All right, Tatiana, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. A final farewell from Scotland to their longest-serving monarch. Stream of visitors believed to be a mile long, lining up to pay their last respects as Queen Elizabeth II lies in rest in Edinburgh for 24 hours. The Queen's coffin will later be taken to London to lie in state for 4 days. Ukrainian troops continue to pile unrelenting pressure on retreating Russian forces. They are seeking to hold on to their sudden momentum that has produced major territorial gains. Monday Night Football, the Seahawks upset the Broncos 17-16. In baseball, the Mets lost to the Cubs 5-2. The Giants won. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Karen.
All right, Michael Barr, thank you. It is 6:49 on Wall Street. We turn to news in science and technology now with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked atop 100 national university by U.S. News and World Report, and the number one public university in New Jersey by Forbes. What will you make at NJIT? Learn more at njit.edu. And here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Today is a big day for the ongoing legal battle between Twitter and Elon Musk. Twitter whistleblower Peter Zatko is expected to appear before the Senate Judiciary Committee and tell them that the company misled its board, investors, and users about its security. A judge last week ruled that Musk's legal team can use Zatko's claim in his defense to get out of his purchase of Twitter. The FAA will look into what caused Blue Origin to abort a rocket launch yesterday shortly after takeoff. The false start is the first major failure for the rocket company owned by Jeff Bezos since transitioning to routine commercial flights. No passengers were on board. And Nintendo shares made their biggest jump since December of 2020 after the video game console maker released a new family-friendly game, Splatoon 3, for their popular Switch platform. Nintendo is hoping to continue the positive momentum through the end of the year, betting on new additions to the Pokemon franchise doing well in the holiday season. That's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
I still miss Mario. Thank you, Karen. We're live from the We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where we're coming up to 6:51 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include dozens of former Trump officials facing Justice Department subpoenas, the Senate to investigate claims the former president used DOJ to investigate critics, and President Biden making a late pivot to the economy in remarks set for later this afternoon. Let's bring back Joe Matthew, our Washington correspondent, host of Sound On here on Bloomberg Radio, to kind of sort out the latest developments in one, maybe a couple of the multiple investigations surrounding former President Donald Trump. Joe, good morning. What do we know about these subpoenas?
Well, dozens of them have gone out over the past couple of days here, and it really gives us a sense that the DOJ is going deep on this. When the Justice Department subpoenaed specifically campaign operatives, those who were part of the effort, they say, to overturn the 2020 presidential election. That's what they're looking into here, Nathan, as opposed to the investigation into documents at Mar-a-Lago. So we've got now tandem investigations coming out of the DOJ. And this is a pretty broad view here based on what we're seeing. The number of subpoenas that went out to individuals, including the former New York City Police Commissioner Bernie Kerik, it's really pretty stunning here. The subpoena specifically asked for information about fake electors, the idea of creating these slates of fake electors to resist the certification of Joe Biden as president is what they're looking into, according to the New York Times. And my goodness, it's another layer in this ongoing legal dispute here between Donald Trump and the government that never seems to end.
Yeah, you mentioned the former New York City Police Commissioner Bernie Kerik, one of the people being issued with subpoenas here. Who else is being looked at? And what does this potentially say about where this investigation is going?
You know, Will, along with the subpoenas, and this was, my goodness, half of the Trump campaign it has been getting a knock on the door here, it seems like, from the DOJ. They seized the phones last week from a lawyer to Donald Trump and a former campaign strategist who actually directed Election Day operations for 2020. And at that point, if you follow the bouncing ball here, they were well underway here with their efforts even before the election to try to follow up on this concept of fake electors. So to consider dozens of subpoenas, telephones being seized, this is something that is clearly this morning larger than anyone realized yesterday.
Are we getting any reaction, Joe, to or from some of the people that have been handed these subpoenas?
Well, you know, yeah, there have been a couple of folks on Twitter, but there's been no, to my knowledge at least, and I'm not on Truth Social right now, no bold reply from Donald Trump himself, although he's been, of course, talking for months and years about the DOJ's weaponizing of the Biden administration's weaponizing of the DOJ in this case.
Now, interesting you mentioned weaponization of the DOJ, because now we're hearing that the Senate is going to be looking into claims that the former president himself did just that based on new revelations from a book coming out today, Joe.
Yeah. Yeah. To think that we've got another book and that it's actually gotten the attention of Dick Durbin, the senator from Illinois, who has sent a letter to Attorney General Merrick Garland about this, asking for information about these allegations that Donald Trump's Justice Department, in fact, demanded that critics of the president be prosecuted. And it brings us to the case of Gregory Craig, who was prosecuted for political reasons, according to this report. They, in fact, he was accused of lying about work on behalf of the Ukrainian government. But this, in fact, was acquitted. So it's yet another layer here, whether this actually results in an investigation by another Senate committee here, along with the Gen 6 committee, has yet to be seen. Sometimes in Washington, we talk about hearings and investigations that never see the light of day.
Yeah, and hearings and investigations, as we say, kind of run tandem with each other. We'll leave that for now. Let's turn to what's happening at the White House today. Pretty interesting that President Biden is going to be talking about the economy, an issue that maybe just a couple of weeks ago might have looked like an Achilles heel for him.
Well, and you could say that it still is. I mean, it depends on the CPI print this morning, which makes this kind of tricky timing. But they are planning to do essentially a ceremonial signing, and it comes with a couple of thousand people actually on the South Lawn later for what they called the Inflation Reduction Act. Republicans will tell you that it actually is going to worsen inflation, but this is the bill that the president got done in a sort of last-minute deal that was considered a very big win. It includes climate spending and of course, lower drug prices that the president says will lower inflation. But look, gas prices have been down for something like 90 days in a row, and that has sent the president's approval ratings higher. They say that the strong job market, lower gas prices are adding up to an economy that is rebounding stronger than almost any in history. Now, when you look at the other side of the coin here, you listen to Republicans, you think that the economy is already in a recession, which it may be heading into one, and that inflation is ruining the lives of families. That's not the story that you will hear today from the White House, obviously. They seem to think that they've got some momentum here. They want to seize on that as they go into November.
Yeah, in our last minute here, Joe, we've heard from Republicans saying the Inflation Reduction Act may be a misnomer. How could the president be looking to sort of turn the tables on that later today?
Well, you'll hear him talk about, you know, the rebound, the strength in the job market, as he likes to point out here, lower energy prices and billions of dollars invested in infrastructure. And now, he'll point to this plan, deficit reduction, which they say will lower inflation. So, look, this may not be kitchen table talk. It's actually pretty high level economics that they're trying to transmit to voters between now and November. But we'll see how he does today. It's gonna have the feel of a celebration on the South Lawn. Whether or not people get an economic lesson from it is another matter.
Now, we'll certainly be watching for bringing you updates throughout the day here on Bloomberg Radio and much more on Sound On with Joe Matthew coming up today, 5 p.m. Wall Street time, right here on Bloomberg Radio. Looking ahead to the market open, ahead of that inflation data coming out in just about an hour and a half, we're seeing futures add to their gains right now. S&P futures are up 27 points, Dow futures up 203, and NASDAQ futures are higher by 80 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 11/32, the yield 3.31%, yield on the 2-year 3.52. NYMEX crude's up by 1.4% at $88.98 a barrel, and the euro 1.0178 against the dollar. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.